Revelation 3, and this will get us back started toward Revelation 6. And I got a lot of things to share with you today because I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit to do so. Some of it is personal, that where I'm just going to be talking just to me and hope you get something out of it. And then Revelation 3. And then some of it is stuff that I need to share that we need understanding of. You'll think at the beginning, you'll think how boring this is, but just bear with me through it if you can. And I do want to give praise to the Lord. I think it was probably one of the most successful Dress to Impress day. I'm not. Hello. I think this is one of the most successful Dress to Impress days we've ever had. And I praise the Lord for that. And so I'm thankful for that. All right, Revelation 3. Are you there? I want to read to you this passage starting with verse 14. And thank God for the prayer before it started. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The Lord said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We'll call your attention again to this verse. He said, I know your works. Thou art neither cold or hot. I would that you were either cold or hot. But because you're neither cold or hot, he said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I just feel led of the Lord to share just a little bit, and then I'm going to get into a personal thing. Over the last couple of weeks, I'll share a little bit of the personal thing first. Some of you know, and I announced this, it's been about a month ago now, I kind of entered into what the only term I know to call it is a spiritual funk. I think I'm re-terming that as a spiritual virus. And I think those things actually exist. Where you get infected in your spirit. And you can spread. That's exactly right. It's very contagious. It'll go to somebody else. You think you're hiding all of those things in you. I have preached this before. When you, whatever baggage you carry into the house of God, it affects everybody there. It affects everybody there. So when you come in and you say, boy, I'll tell you, the service was dead, well, you was part of it. And you could have been the cause of it. Say amen. Now, that's not said to run you off. That's said to get you right with God, all of us. But I entered into that, and about a month ago, I even requested prayer. Dawn, I said to Dawn, please pray. And here's where it began to start. It started at the last Friday night gathering. It had already started a little bit before that, but then in that last Friday night gathering, the Lord allowed me to put some words up on the whiteboard, and we were discussing the prodigal, the story of the prodigal. We've been teaching through that because we're praying to reclaim the prodigal. And the Lord had me to write three words down on the whiteboard, and I did. Two of them I had planned to write down. The third one, the Lord put it in my heart to write down while I was writing down the other two, so I wrote it down. We only discussed one of them. Since that time, I've been engaged in watching, because I was invited to, a roundtable discussion with four men who had doctrinal differences, and they were debating their doctrinal differences. And it reminded me of some church history. This will be important to you, though you'll think it to be boring. But I want to just lay a few things on you so that you can understand where I'm coming from. All right. There's two words that is used to describe Christianity today. One is the word Catholic. The other is the word Protestant. Those two terms have formed their own meaning in many ways. You know what Catholic is, and the Catholic Church claims to be the oldest form of Christianity on the earth, and that's not so. That's just absolutely not so. The term Protestant comes from the word we get protest from. That term was originated with Martin Luther. But I want to share with you just a few little things, just real sketchy, about some church history, okay? You had the apostolic age in the beginning of the church. Jesus prophesied of the beginning of the church when he said, upon this rock I will build my what? Jesus said, upon this rock I will, future tense, build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I had a conversation this morning on the way to church where I was reminded that Jesus gathered the apostles together in the Gospel of John, and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Do you hear that? Receive the Holy Ghost. Now what did they do after they received the Holy Ghost? They were told to go and wait, indicating there is an indwelling of the power of the Holy Ghost that is apart from the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. On the day of Pentecost, the church began. Now, I have to say this to you, and I want you to hear it. The Apostle Paul wasn't a Catholic. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Peter was not the first pope. There was no hierarchy of the bishops in the early church. But in AD 313, something happened. The Roman Empire was in charge, and the Roman Empire was beginning to crumble. And what the Roman Empire thought is that they would incorporate Christianity into the governmental process that they had, and by doing that, they thought they would save the empire. And the reason that they was doing that is because Christianity was spreading so much from the day of Pentecost up until AD 313. So many people were coming to Christ. So many people were getting saved. It became a threat to the government. Did everybody hear what I just said? It became a threat to the Roman Empire. And so the Roman Empire had to act. Now hear me. Since the early beginnings of the church has affected governments. Say amen. Amen. Since the early days of the church has affected governments. And since the early days of the church, governments have tried to manipulate Christianity. You either choose to take a stand for Christianity when it comes to governmental issues, or you're not on the side of the church. So in AD 313, there was what was called the Edict of Milan. And that kind of ended the Roman Empire's persecution of Christianity for the most part. Not altogether, but for the most part. And at that point, Christianity became tolerated. Then in AD 325, you had what was called the Council of Nicaea. And at the Council of Nicaea, the formation of the Catholic hierarchy began. And they were welcomed into those governmental positions. So strictly from a historical standpoint, the Catholic Church began in earnest around AD 325. Now my question to you is this. Was there a church prior to AD 325? Did you hear what I just said? So the Catholic claim that they are the oldest form of the church is simply not so. There's no documentation for that. When you get to 1054 AD, there was a split in the Catholic Church. And that split was of the Western Orthodoxy and the Eastern Orthodoxy. It was called the Great Schism. Daniel the prophet prophesied of that when he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue. There was two legs. One represented the Western form of Catholicism. The other one represented the Eastern form of Catholicism. Now, why is that important? If you want to understand why Vladimir Putin's doing what he's doing right now in the Ukraine, it's because of 1054 AD. There was a split in orthodoxy, and it formed that Eastern leg. And everything that Putin is doing right now is because of that split. Then you fast forward to the year 1517, and there was a man named Martin Luther. How many of you have heard of him? Martin Luther, known for what's called the 95 Theses, where he exposed Catholic corruption. And he started what they say, anyway, is what theologians would say, he started what is known as the Protestant movement. Basically, what he started was the Lutheran denomination that was prevalent in Germany. Martin Luther, and I'm going to say this, I hope you'll hear my heart here, well, hear my words too with this one. Martin Luther did not receive revelation. Martin Luther received illumination. And he was illuminated to one fact. And that is, we are justified by faith. Everybody say amen to that. That is the only thing that was illuminated in Martin Luther that started what we know as the Protestant movement. Now most people identify non-Catholics as Protestants and Protestants as non-Catholics. Okay? So you're either Catholic or Protestant in the minds of many. I want to ask you a question. Was there a church before there was the Protestant movement? The answer is yes. So now I'm going to ask you a question I always ask. How many of you know that you're saved? You know you've been born again? Jesus lives in your heart. You're not Protestant. Amen. Neither are you Catholic. You're a born again child of the King.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Your roots goes all the way back to the Apostle Paul. Your roots goes to Paul's teaching on justification by faith, not Martin Luther's teaching. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Later on in Martin Luther's life, he wrote, continued to write, and as a result of the things Martin Luther wrote, Adolf Hitler took it and formed the Nazi Party. Do you want to just say it? Sweet water and bitter water flowing out of the same vessel. Agree with the sweet water, deny the bitter water. Please say amen to that. I'm saying the church has been in this battle over what's right and wrong ever since the church began. And we've been divided over things we should not be divided over. And we have failed to separate from the things we should separate from. And we have failed to commit to the things that we're supposed to commit to, because there's been all of these various movements. You get on up to the 1700s and, later in the 1500s and 1572, from 1514 to 1572, you have a man named John Knox. You have a man named John Calvin. They started from their teaching what we know as the Presbyterian denomination. It was all about Calvinism. You get into the 1700s and you have the beginning of the Methodist denomination. Now, I just read to you what all of this has, what shape we're in as a result of this. Here's the shape it leaves us in. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. But because you're neither, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. We live in that Laodicean time period right now. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. We live in that Laodicean time period. And that's important that we understand that. You do not have to be characterized by the Laodicean church, but you live in the Laodicean time period right now. Now, I'll tell you something. I want to be lost in Christ. Did you hear what I just said? I want to be consumed by His Spirit. I desire to manifest His fruit. I want to be identified with Jesus Christ. How many of you would agree with that statement? I'd like to be identified with Jesus Christ. I want to be guided by Him. I want to be led by Him. I want His Word to be the direction that I follow. I want my thoughts to line with His thoughts. I want to think the way He wants me to think, feel the way He wants me to feel, and act the way He wants me to act. I desire to follow His Word regardless of what that means to me individually. Now I'm going to get back to period of time that I've been in over the last month. In terms of this statement, you're not cold, you're not hot. Can I tell you what that really means? It means you're not heathen and you're not Christian either. You're neither one. You're not an enemy of Christ, but you're not committed to Him either. You don't mind if somebody else is on fire for God, but you don't want to be on fire for God. You don't care if everybody else walks straight, but you don't want the responsibility of walking straight. I kind of knew that it would be a little bit silent today. But that's the shape we're in. We're not cold, we're not hot. Watch. We understand the principle of sin, but we don't want nobody to call it out. Not being cold or hot simply means this. You don't have a backbone to stand up for what's right. You don't have a backbone to stand against what's wrong, but you got plenty of backbone to ride the fence. You're neither cold nor you're hot. Now, listen, there's something else you need to notice about Revelation chapter 3. Hear this. This letter is written to the angel of the church of Laodicea. Now, herein lies the problem. Watch. Adolf Hitler took what Martin Luther wrote and formed the Third Reich. Because later on in Luther's life, he hated the Jews. He called for their destruction. He called for their murder. He said if they teach anything, that they do it by penalty of death. Adolf Hitler took that, formed the Third Reich and the Nazi Party, and went about a business of exterminating the Jews. This is the same man that said we're justified by faith alone. Now what does that have to do with it? Here's what, listen. You know why we're not cold or hot? Because you don't have enough salt in the pulpits in America that'll stand for what's right and stand against what's wrong. They got a backbone to stand in the middle, but that's all. They don't want to rock the boat. Do you know we got preachers right now standing in pulpits in America that's afraid to preach against the sins of the nation because they're afraid they're going to lose their tax-exempt status? Do you know that? Can I tell you, I've never read in the New Testament about New Testament giving where it says the motive of your giving should be that you get a write-off? I don't think it existed then. I'm pretty sure that when Paul preached and took up an offering, nobody counted it off with the Roman Empire on their taxes. See how far we've fallen? God said, you're not cold, you're not hot. I would that you was even icy cold. Why? Because they're easier to get a hold of. The lost man is easier to come to Christ than a lukewarm Christian is of getting right with God. A lot easier. Now, let me get back to the personal thing. Here's why I've been in the slump spiritually that I've been in. You wouldn't know I was in a slump, would you, unless I confessed it. But I've gotten so old and I've lost all reputation that now I don't care to confess whatever I need to confess. But here's what happened a couple of Friday nights, three Friday nights ago in the teaching. I was teaching on the prodigal and I wrote down three terms. One was deception. The second one was delusion. And the third one came to me while I was writing the other two up. And I know it was motivated out of my spirit. And I'm going to tell you why I think, and you're going to think I'm just, y'all know, after this is over, you're going to say, that's the craziest idiot that I've ever heard in my life. The third term was disqualification. That's a term I've struggled with personally for a long time. Long time. I called my brother. That tells you how low I was. I called my brother to ask him a question. Now, boy, if that don't tell you something right there, I knew I was in trouble when he answered the phone. Let me tell you what he did too. I called Joe and I said, Joe, I want to ask you a question. Do you think I'm disqualified? And he said, boy, I wish Dad and Mom was alive. I'd tell on you. He's nothing but a tattletale. It's all he's ever been. Trying to get something to tell on somebody with. Anyway, that's the question I've been struggling with for some time. Disqualified. Am I disqualified? I've prayed over that. I've wrestled over that thing. Listen, it has consumed my brain for 3 weeks. Am I disqualified? Have I done something in my life that's completely disqualified? Because listen, let me tell you, the religious institutions that are represented today, I am disqualified. You need to know that. Do you understand that you every Sunday that you come in here? That's why I've always said, if somebody asks me, what do you do up there? I say, I teach Sunday school. I try to minimize as much. I try not to say I preach. But in the last several weeks, God's made me preach. And listen, I've tried not to. I promise you, I have tried not to. But it comes out. Over 90 decibels. Joe Barrett told me last week, he said, way too loud. You're louder than the Detroit Lions Stadium. Yeah. But preaching comes out. I can't stop it. I try to stop it, but I can't stop it. Now listen to me. I've struggled with this thing ever since I started. Am I disqualified? And I used to ask myself that question. And then because of my own rebellion and my own sin, I continued to ask, am I disqualified? And all for 3 weeks I've asked God about it. I can't think of nothing else. I can't pray nothing else. And this past Friday, after I got on the phone with Joe, I was coming down out of the mountains and the Lord answered my question. He answered me. And let me tell you something that I can tell you. How many of you believe that I know the Lord? I hope you believe that. I'll announce this to you. Whether if it hair lips every religious institution in America, I've been born again of the Spirit of God, and I know Jesus. And hear me, I know His voice.
Amen.
And He spoke to me Friday, and you know what He said to me? I was coming down the mountain, I just got off the phone with Joe, and I was asking Joe, you think I'm disqualified? And you know what the Lord told me? He said, what do you think you're even saying? You've never been qualified to start with. That's what He told me. I heard Him as clear as a bell. He said, you're never qualified to start with. And I said, but Lord, I stand every Sunday and I give the word to people and I'm trying to teach. And the Lord said, listen, if you're disqualified, everybody's disqualified because everybody's supposed to be doing that. Suddenly it came to my mind when Jesus left. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's a call to everybody. And if you want to know why we're cold, it's because we're not busy teaching the word. If you want to know why we're not hot, it's because we're scared to death we might have to tell somebody about Jesus. If you want to know why we're so lukewarm, it's because we've become ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to tell you what I believe is true. Okay? The church today is living in the Laodicean time, and most of them are Laodicean members. Okay? Now, when the Lord said, I'll spew you out of my mouth, can I tell you that's not an emphatic term? If you go back to the original language, in the Greek tensing of I will, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I am ready to, I am about to vomit you up. Not the decision is made. Jesus said, I am almost ready to puke you out. That's why in verse 19, He says, repent, therefore. Repent. Do you hear me? Repent. Now, I'm going to say some stuff here. It's going to get me in trouble. It's going to get me, but I could care less. I just don't care. Don't hold anything that I say to Joe Barrett's charge, Don Barrett's charge, or Haley. Don't hold it to none of their charge. And I'm different, and I know that. I know. I come from an era that's not very acceptable today. I get that. Okay? I know we live in a time where churches have blacked out stages and smoke coming out of the stage and a rock concert, and then you have somebody that no longer preaches, they share. Share. The Bible does not say go therefore and share. Now you just say what, take it for whatever it is. God said, I chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. And there's a difference between preaching and sharing. You know what sharing will do? It'll make you weak. You'll get scared to death to call out sin because you might offend a tither and they'll walk out, and then what are you going to do? So, anyway. Watch, listen to this. That's why the church is in the shape it's in. It's because we refuse to conform to the will of God. We would rather bend to the will of the world in hopes of trying to reach them. Now here's the equation. Here's what's caused it. It begins with deception. Deception's a whole lot like ignorance. People are deceived. To be deceived, you think you're right. I went through all of this list the other Friday night on deception. I'm just going to rattle a few of it off. Can I do that for you? Everybody say I'm listening. Real quick, I'm about done already. Y'all don't believe it, but I am. Man's deceived when he's a hearer of the word and not a doer.
Right.
Bible's plain on that. So you can hear the book, but if you don't do the book, you're deceived. You deceive your own self, the Bible says. Listen to this. Man's deceived if he says he has no sin, according to 1 John 1:8-10. So if your expectations of what's up here has to be perfect, you are sadly going to be disappointed. I will own it. I will say to you that I have sinned. And unfortunately, I still struggle with it. And so do you. But thank God we have a promise in His Word that if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And it'd do you good to get busy on some confessing yourself. And to repent of your own pride and selfishness and arrogance and thinking you're right all the time. When we get to heaven, we're going to sit down and all of us are going to figure out how wrong we've been. Hello? God's ways are above our ways, past finding out. That's why it requires an intimate, personal walk with God if you're going to walk up close to Him. It's not all about the fuzzy, warm feelings you get. It's about obedience to the Word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And half of you don't even know the commandments. Now, just say amen.
Amen.
Deception. Man's deceived when he thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. According to the book, Galatians 6:3. Man is deceived when he thinks himself to be wise with the wisdom of this world, according to 1 Corinthians 3:18. Man is deceived by seeming to be religious when an unbridled tongue reveals his true condition. Man is deceived if he thinks he will sow and not reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man is deceived if he thinks the unrighteous will inherit the kingdom of God. I can go on and on and on. The list is exhaustive in the Word of God about deception. Here's where it leads you. It leads you that half of people sitting in the chairs and the pews of churches, they've never come to Christ. They don't know the Lord. Greatest mission field on the earth sitting inside the church. Do you hear that? Let me tell you something. If you think you're going to perform good enough to get God's approval, you don't know the Bible. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Your good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. I'm saved by grace through faith, thank God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you think that you're better than somebody else because you do good things, you're probably, that's a revelation that you may be lost and on your way to hell. When you point your little crooked finger at somebody else, you got three pointing back at you. One of the greatest friends I ever had, preacher friends, Walter Burrell, and I've shared his story before. Walter was, there were so many parallels between me and him. He preached his first message at 13. I preached mine at 13. Walter went on he's actually born over here in Highlands, North Carolina, moved down to Georgia, northern Georgia, and that's where he pastored and lived. But Walter Burrell became one of the greatest independent Baptist evangelist of the day. He's preached meetings for Bob Jones University, Tennessee Temple University. He preached all over the country, and he come to our little church over here in Statesville and preached, and I loved him. He was a precious man. Here's what made him precious. He was in the pulpit pastoring a church in Georgia at the age of 20. He was up preaching, and he said he put his finger across the pulpit, and he said, "Ye must be born again." He said he looked at that finger pointing at everybody else, and he said he had three pointing back at himself. And finally, he got under conviction. And he got down out of the pulpit and got on the altar and got born again. He said, "I knew the book, but I was not saved. I had never received Christ and come to real faith in Christ." He got saved, and that's when his ministry took off. Now you say, "Well, I can't understand how he could listen." The gift of preaching has nothing to do with receiving Christ. The pulpits are full of people this morning that don't know Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? Why? Because they're deceived. Now watch this. It goes deeper than that. This is the age of deception. We're deceived over the truth of the Word of God. We're deceived over our own self. When you stay in deception, how many of y'all are listening to me? If y'all listen real good and act like you're interested, then I won't holler. It won't get on your nerves. Amen. You know what happens when you get deceived and you hug that deception? You come under delusion. Here's what the book says. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not, listen, the love of the truth. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion. Did you know that that term's a psychotic term? It's descriptive of someone that's psychotic. They're in a delusion. In other words, they can't really relate to reality. They're in a fantasy world. You hear me? Most people haven't even touched reality. We can't even grasp reality. I was reading a philosopher, can't call his name. I was reading a philosopher many years ago, and he wrote this, and this line stuck with me. He said, I feel like I'm walking through life with my eyelids clamped open, forced to see the reality that is around me. Most people go to church, and as long as they feel good and leave happy, everything's good. No, it's not. Conviction and challenge has left the church. We've replaced it with feel good. Amen. Let's throw a party. Listen, I'm not against being happy, and I'm not against the church having a party and having a dinner and having fellowship. I love that. They ain't nobody that you've ever met loves to get around a group of people and make fun of each other better than I do. If I haven't proved that to you, I ain't proved nothing. I'd rather pick on somebody. I live for that. Listen to this. If you get offended by me picking on you, forgive me ahead of time. Please. It's the only way I show love. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I'm honest with you. If I'm picking on you, it's because I love you. Now, I will say I probably love Joey Gregg too much. But I'm simply saying I love those kind of things. But let me tell you, in this Laodicean time period we're living in, we need to replace the party for repentance. We need to replace all the feel good with confession. I wished I could get through. In this age, we're not just living in an age of deception and an age of delusion, but we're living, because of that, in an age of disqualification. And that's where I get to what I'm going to say. See how I'm done? I've got tons that I could say, but I'm going to say this. Sin don't disqualify. I wished it did. If it did, I could go home. And I would. If I've ever told you the truth, you've never met somebody that preaches that's run from it harder than I have. I promise you that's the truth. I beg God to let me not do it. And there's this something that stirs in me that I can't stop it. And if I didn't come here, I'd just go out and preach to the squirrels, I guess. Some of the best messages I've ever preached, nobody's ever heard because I was by myself. That's the truth. But can I tell you what I am sick of? I am sick to death. And I'm about to, I am ready to spew out of my mouth when I hear of preachers and pastors of churches. And Joe Barrett will tell you this is the truth. I am sick of hearing stories about how preachers are forming campaigns to build a church and it's absolutely empty of Jesus Christ. I'm sick to death of churches changing what the church's mandate and design is. Did you know what Jesus said about his church? My house shall be called a house of prayer.
Amen.
We do a lot of things. We don't do that. Y'all hearing me? And I am sick to death of somebody saying, well, I'm of this denomination, and I'm of that denomination, and I'm of this, and you're wrong, and you don't have the same doctrines I got. Let me tell you something. If you're born again, you come from the Apostle Paul. You ain't Protestant, you ain't Catholic, and I'm just going to throw this out there. You ain't Baptist, you ain't Methodist, you ain't Presbyterian neither. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you link your heritage back to the Word of God.
Amen.
And be Bible people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Ain't about your doctrine. Ain't about your doctrine. It ain't. Ain't about your doctrine. Ain't about your denomination. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why that we're neither cold or we're hot. We're riding the fence. We're lukewarm. And God said, I'm ready to puke you up. Either get in or get completely out, but don't ride the fence no more. Sell out. Get committed to Christ. You say, well, I don't feel like it. God never said one time in his book, it's according to how you feel. Well, I ain't ready yet. It's not up to you to be ready. It's when God calls you that you're supposed to move. One last thing. I talked to somebody the other day. They was talking about their church was discussing this now, whether or not somebody in the church had wanted to have a meeting and pray for the nation. And they was discussing whether it'd be appropriate. God help us and save us from that kind of weak, foolish, vile kind of walk with God. That's a vile response. Did you hear what I said? And I don't care how educated. I heard people talking the other day and they was talking about, well, they're not trained. Paul the Apostle didn't go to Bible college either. Peter didn't have no titles and letters after his name. They didn't call him Peter, PhD. Your education needs to come from the Holy Spirit and let Him guide you into all truth. Now, hear what I'm telling you. I preached to you this morning because God challenged me to. I preached what I preached because God Almighty challenged me to. Now, I'm going to go home obedient. I'm going to go home with peace. You'll answer to God for how you've responded. Did you hear what I said? Those of you that tuned me out, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Those of you that tuned me out, you'll remain lukewarm. Those of you that didn't like it, you'll stay lukewarm. Hopefully those of you that are icy cold will get born again. And if you're on fire for God, you got encouraged a little bit. Even through hard preaching. Did you hear what I said? But God said, if you don't move off of the fence, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. Did y'all hear what I said? That leads us to the age of the Antichrist. And the Lord willing, we'll maybe start back again there next week. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. And I've tried to be obedient, Lord, even in every way. I've tried to be obedient to you today. Let it do what it's supposed to do, and from this, give direction. For me, individually, and for this church, corporately. Thank you for what you're doing at the Grace Place. And let the Grace Place know God loves this place. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.